Thanks for tuning in for the Book Club at 91.7 WVXU and WMUB. I'm Mark Purcell. A good Saturday morning to you. When it was out in hardback, it became a national bestseller. Now out in paperback, A Paris Apartment, the first novel from Michelle Gabel. Michelle joining us on the Book Club at 91.7. Good morning, Michelle, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
I want to go back to the true story behind your novel, A Paris Apartment, this Parisian apartment that was opened for the first time in 70 years and was a vault of treasures. Talk about the true story behind your novel.
It was a great jumping off point for a novel. In 2010, late 2010, a woman died in the south of France. She was over 90 years old, and when they went through her belongings and her estate, they realized that she had had this apartment in Paris. In 1940, as a young woman, she locked up the apartment, fled the city, and never returned. And so in those 70 years, it just stayed in its same condition, and it was filled with floor-to-ceiling of the most unimaginable pieces, artwork, furniture, a bronze bathtub, this ostrich, all just stacked to the walls with pieces that, you know, would end up going for millions at auction. And the sort of crowning piece of the whole apartment was this portrait that had been done by Giovanni Boldini, who was a famous portrait artist of the era, and it sold for over 2 million euro at auction. They didn't know it had even existed, and it was of the woman who died's grandmother, who was once a courtesan in the Belle Epoque. So it's this very interesting background, and you kind of ask yourself, A, why did the woman leave, and B, what must it have been like to see the apartment after all that time?
As you say, a great jumping off point. And I have to admit, Michelle, that when I first read A Paris Apartment, I didn't know it was based on a true story. And I thought, boy, this is a wonderful plot. But it's amazing that, you know, this real life situation existed and that there were all these treasures hidden from view.
And it was great, too, because it's a true story. And it's so fascinating. The pictures, if you Google Paris Apartment Shuttered 70 Years, you know, the pictures are fantastic. And yet not that much is known about the woman who died or the courtesan herself, so that made it perfect for fiction because I could let my mind wander while still staying true to the facts as they're known.
Well, the portrait by Giovanni Boldini that you mentioned is one of the centerpieces of your novel, A Paris Apartment. What other true-life items made it into the text?
So there's the Mickey Mouse doll. That was such an interesting juxtaposition between this apartment was glorious and the pieces were, the courtesan was a very wealthy woman from all her clients, shall we say. And it was just this interesting juxtaposition of these beautiful pieces of furniture and the artwork and jewels and things like that. And then a Mickey Mouse doll and a stuffed ostrich. And then in one of the photos, there's this sort of very basic bookshelf. And in the bookshelf, there's all these papers crammed into it. And when I saw that photo, I thought, okay, those look like journals to me. So the book is dual time periods. It's the modern day, the auctioneer that walks into the apartment for the first time and is tasked with selling these items. And then the historical pieces brought through in these fictionalized journals. You know, I saw that picture and I thought, those have to be the courtesan's journals, of course. So that's where that part came in. And then there's another sort of scene where in the apartment in the modern day, they're moving furniture and they're picking it up and lifting it and turning it, and all these calling cards fall out, all the woman's lovers, and that actually really happened.
I'm speaking with Michelle Gabel, the author of A Paris Apartment, the best-selling story now out in paperback. You can learn more about it at our website, wvxu.org. And I love the dual timelines that you have, Michelle. Was that something that came to you as you were putting together this book? As you said, that's got to be the journals of the courtesan. Another good jumping off place there. I imagine you had to do a bit of research into both the timelines that you're working with.
Yeah, that's absolutely true, because a lot of people ask me about the research for the historical piece, which I absolutely did a ton of, but I also needed to research the modern-day piece, because the protagonist, she works at Sotheby's. She's very knowledgeable in her career, and I've never worked at Sotheby's. I don't have any experience in that world. It's such a fascinating world to me. I loved learning about it, but I definitely had to understand April's world and the kinds of things she would have been interested in, as well as the courtesan herself. So it was very – and I love researching. That's probably my favorite part about writing. And I also love I love reading books that send me Googling and looking things up. So hopefully my book does the same for readers as well.
Well, it did have me looking up a number of things, including polishing up a little bit of my French. Now, were you a Francophile beforehand, Michelle, or was this something else you had to learn for the novel?
Yeah, I don't speak French, really, but a little bit here and there. But I grew up in Southern California, so we speak Spanish. But I've always been a Francophile. I've gone to Paris quite a bit for work over the years. I was actually in Paris when my agent called to say that the editor wanted to acquire this novel. So I've always loved the city, and it was actually my agent that had seen the article about this apartment and said, hey, you know, this would be perfect for you. I bet you could write a book about this. And lo and behold, I did.
Well, what a coincidence being in Paris when you got.
I know it was truly strange, and it was a whirlwind trip, and I was only in Paris for one day, and I was moving on to London after that, and so it just so happened that at that precise moment, kind of kismet, I guess.
I think so. I must say that I loved all the different plot lines that are in there, and I learned a lot in reading A Paris Apartment, because you talk about the art that's in the apartment and the furniture that's in the apartment, and what's happening in back in the Belle Epoque when you're looking at the journals. What was the most difficult aspect of the story to bring to the page for you?
Actually, the journals were quite easy for me. It was almost like I was channeling her voice. I don't know, you know, if I was a courtesan in a past life or something. I don't really know how that came about. But the journals came out so easily, and I could so easily picture them. I found the journals of a different courtesan, and she was a courtesan turned princess turned nun. So she ran the gamut. So that was very helpful. She was more, you know, Mart's journals in my book are a little more ribald. She was a little more low-key. But it was interesting to hear the sort of things that they cared about or the people or the events that they went to, which I tried to incorporate in the book. The modern-day storyline was probably a little bit harder for me. Strangely enough, you would think it would be a little more relatable just because it's modern day. But, you know, with the protagonist, we kind of meet her when she's at a very bad place in her life. So it was hard to kind of tackle her and make her realistic and having her own life without trying to put my judgment on her. You know, she does things I wouldn't necessarily do, or she says things I wouldn't necessarily say. And it was so I struggled a little bit more with her just because she's very different from me. And, you know, you have to make her sympathetic, but yet she definitely makes mistakes, you know, as we all do. You know, you can't have perfect characters in your novel, or it'd be quite boring. But so
true.
Yeah, that was probably the hardest part for me, is just tackling her and her relationships, you know, without judgment, and letting her kind of do what she needs to do.
With all these aspects of your novel, A Paris Apartment, the art, the furniture, the Paris, the paintings, is there any one of those angles that seem to be most popular among your readers?
I think people tend to like the historical part of it the best, just kind of being swept away in that. It was such a beautiful era, right? The Gilded Age and before World War One, and so much art and literature and beautiful buildings and were created, and it was just such a beautiful time. So I think people are very interested in that. And then a lot of people want to know, you know, did I work at Sotheby's? So they're interested in that world as well. So I would say the art and the furniture is, whether historical or modern day, is definitely a big drawing point of that.
So any pushback from some of the Francophiles? I know sometimes when it comes to the language or the land that people love, that sometimes they can be very particular about things.
Yeah, I haven't, not that I know of. I don't read reviews, so there could be people that have, you know, their own opinions. It's kind of interesting, though, we sold rights to France, and so the French edition, my French publisher, that came out a couple weeks ago. So first of all, I was kind of surprised that they would buy. The French don't tend to buy U.S. versions of books, and especially not one set in France. You would think they would kind of think, okay,
yes.
You don't know what you're talking about, lady.
Yes.
You don't live here. And so they bought it, and then in addition to that, which is so cool, and I'm actually going to post some of this on my website soon. I just want the book to come out in France for a bit and have them, you know, I don't want to steal anyone's thunder, but they also were able to track down the original auctioneer who saw the apartment for the first time. So sort of
wow.
April, but, you know, the real guy, and he wrote a whole foreword to the book about what he really, what he saw and how it made him feel. And he included a bunch of pictures that aren't on the web, his own personal pictures from the apartment. And it's his foreword to the French book. And he was very, you know, it was kind of funny. He thanks me at the end of his foreword for, you know, bringing it to life so well. So that was kind of gratifying because when they told me they were going to have this guy write the foreword, I was like, oh, great. You know, he's going to be like, okay, this is all wrong. This is, none of this is right. This is really what happened. But he was just very gracious, and it was fascinating to read his own descriptions and his own thoughts. So I'll definitely be posting the translated version of that in the near future, but I wanted the book to come out in France, and it's just so neat to me to get to read that piece of it.
Michelle Gabel is the best-selling author of the novel A Paris Apartment, now out in paperback. More about that at our website, wvxu.org. And as I was preparing for the interview, Michelle, you know, not only reading the book again, but also delving into your biography, you're a lifelong writer. Writing is something that's been with you most of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm still really good friends with a lot of my childhood friends, and they joke that, you know, for play dates, I'd make them do writing groups and things like that when they just want to, you know, make prank phone calls or try on, you know, high heels or whatever. My dad's always fostered that in me, and I've always just done it as a hobby. I went into finance. My career's in finance.
Well, I was going to say, I was real surprised that you started yes. writing at a young age, but then you went into accounting.
Yes. Well, I do love numbers. I love finance. I also, you know, my parents were very explicit that they'd pay for college, but after that, you know, grad school, whatever, I was on my own. So I know, you know, the struggling writer thing doesn't usually pan out so
pay
well.
Yes.
Yeah, so I, you know, went in, and it's something I've, you know, I started in accounting and moved to finance. It's something I truly love, and then I always just wrote on the side in my spare time. You know, some people golf, I would write, and, you know, I do think the finance helps with it because a story needs structure. It can't just be words on a page, and so I think my brain kind of thinks in a structured manner, so I do think that helps. I'm also very disciplined, so I just kind of, you know, and then finally decided to try to do something with all this stuff I'd written over the years.
Well, your love of France continues. I understand you are working on a second novel that's coming out in the spring.
Yeah, I have a novel coming out in February 9th, called I'll See You in Paris. And it's not a sequel, but it has a similar elements of modern day and historical. It was inspired by research I did for A Paris Apartment, and it's another woman that Boldini painted, Gladys Deacon, the Duchess of Marlborough. It's not the same setup, you know, there isn't like an abandoned house with
right.
a portrait found, but I researched every single person that he had ever painted. I just wanted to get a feel for the types of people he painted, which were all the storied folks of the era. And I came across the Duchess, and she had such a fascinating background. They say she could have prevented World War I. She was the most beautiful woman to ever exist. You know, she married a duke. She was just very fascinating. And so I thought, you know, she needs to go in a novel somehow. I need to figure out a way to work her into a novel. So that she's one of the characters in my second book.
Well, Michelle, I loved A Paris Apartment. I can't wait for I'll See You in Paris. And thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you so much. It was fun.
Michelle Gabel, the best-selling author of A Paris Apartment, now available in paperback. Her next novel, I'll See You in Paris, is due to hit the street in February of 2016. You can learn more about Michelle and her work and her books at our website, wvxu.org. This is the Book Club at 91.7.